that one word really does capture what Christmas is all about. Emmanuel, God with us in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's bow and let's thank him and let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight knowing that what we've just heard and what we've already sung really goes beyond our capacity to grasp. And yet, it's true. It's good news that you have come for us. Lord, we pray tonight that we would understand more fully what it means that you have come. And I pray, God, that those of us who are already putting the full weight of our hope on Jesus for forgiveness and for salvation, help us tonight to have our hearts enlarged, to have our souls stretched as we think about this mystery that really goes beyond our ability to articulate or to understand. And so, Lord, we thank you tonight. We give you praise for Jesus, our Emmanuel. In his name, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the first indications of the Christmas season is the appearance of lights. Lights in trees, candles in windows, the glow of lights is everywhere. But lights are not just decorations. Light is also symbolic. It's true in the way we use our language and speak today, but it's especially true in the Bible. And what I want us to see tonight is that there are four things in the Bible that light symbolizes. Because this will help us, I think, to understand a little bit better and a little bit more about this season and the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. First of all, light symbolizes life. It also symbolizes wisdom or truth. It also symbolizes righteousness and also symbolizes joy. Isaiah, the prophet, foresaw the birth and the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world. And he wrote these words in Isaiah 9, verses 2, and then in verse 6. He said this, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined." One translation says, "On them a light has dawned." And then he explains what he means by that a little bit later when he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." A light has dawned. A child is born. John the Apostle, after the life of Jesus, wrote his gospel looking back and referring to the birth of this child, the birth of Jesus, the coming of Jesus, said similarly to Isaiah, "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." And then later in his gospel, he records Jesus himself saying, "I am the light of the world." A light has dawned. A light has come into the darkness. And that's what this season and this celebration of the birth of Jesus is all about. One of the most amazing things that we find in the Bible, that we also find in our experience, is that when light and darkness meet, light prevails. You go into a dark room, you turn on the light, light prevails. That's unique in many ways. It's not true of most other things. For example, think about black and white. When they meet, when they mix, you don't have either anymore. You have gray. You don't have white. You don't have black. But when light and darkness meet, light always prevails. And Jesus' birth is about light coming into the darkness of this world. And there's several implications that I want us to talk about and think about for tonight, for just a couple of minutes. First of all, we said this, light symbolizes life. Light symbolizes life. And Jesus, when he came into this world of darkness, he came into a world of death. A world where there was physical death because there was sin. Because sin entered the world, death entered the world through sin, Paul says in Romans chapter 5. Without light, there wouldn't be life on many levels. For example, in our text, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, he says about those in great darkness, on them a light has dawned. And so Isaiah is specifically, as he thinks about the birth of this child that is to come, he's comparing that birth to dawn, to the sun coming up at dawn in the morning. And so in a sense, he is referring to this child as being like the sun. Think about the sun and the light from the sun and the warmth from the sun. This planet would have absolutely no life at all on it if the sun were to burn out. This planet would freeze, and there would be nothing but cold and nothing but darkness, and there would be no life. Similarly, Jesus is the sun. He is like the sun, the light of the sun that dawns in the morning, and he brings life. But ultimately, what this text is talking about is he brings eternal life to those who trust in him, who look to him. Physical death, according to the Bible, is the result of sin. But with it, there is also eternal death because of sin, apart from faith in Christ. I love the verse in 1 Corinthians 15 where Paul says this, speaking about the celebration and the victory that we have as Christians. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death has lost its sting. That is, physical death doesn't mean eternal death for those who trust in Jesus. For those who turn from their sins and put the full weight of their hope on Jesus Christ, a light has dawned in the person of Jesus Christ. And the reason we can be saved from the darkness of eternal death is because Jesus endured that darkness for us on the cross. The Bible tells us that while Jesus was being crucified at midday, it became dark as if it were midnight. And for several hours, it was dark, and that was a visible picture, a physical picture of what Jesus was doing. He was enduring the darkness for us, the eternal darkness that we all deserve for our sins, so that we could be forgiven and we could have eternal life. A light has dawned, and light symbolizes life. But also in the Bible, light symbolizes wisdom or knowledge or truth. We use this same language even today. Think of the word enlightenment. The very center of that word is the word light. And if you look up the definition for enlightenment, you'll find this definition: freedom from ignorance and misunderstanding. That's what Jesus came to be and to bring to us: truth, wisdom, knowledge. Jesus said once about himself, a wiser one than Solomon has come. Solomon, of course, the great king of Israel, who was known for his incredible wisdom, a gift from God. But Jesus said about himself, one greater than Solomon in terms of wisdom has come. We also use the language of light in this way when we say about someone that they are bright. We mean they're smart. They have insight. They understand. The Bible uses this same imagery. In Psalm 82, verse 5, we see the connection very clearly. Writing about certain people, the psalmist says, they have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. In darkness. We need light. We need the light of knowledge, the light of truth. Think about driving your car at night. If you don't turn on your headlights, you won't have the truth about what's in front of you. You won't have the truth about what's beside you and around you, and you might get into trouble. You might get into a big accident because you need the light to see the truth of what's around you and what's in front of you so that you can navigate. The same thing is true spiritually and morally. We need the light of Christ and the wisdom that comes through Christ. The truth that's found in the person of Jesus Christ for us to not bring ourselves harm and ultimately to be saved from eternal harm. What do you do at night when you go into a room that's dark? The first thing you do, if you want to do anything else, is you turn on the light. Because you have to be able to see, you have to be able to know what's there so that you don't hurt yourself. I have at times thought that I could walk in our house in the dark because I thought I knew where everything was. But in the dark, you get a little disoriented and you end up hurting yourself. And we can do the same thing spiritually. Paul says this, as I think along these lines, God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, if we want to know God, if we want to know what God's like, if we want to see His glory for what it really is, we need to look into the face of Jesus Christ, meaning we need to look at the person of Jesus Christ because He was Emmanuel, God with us. And so He came to be and to give us God's wisdom and the knowledge of who God is. So light symbolizes life, and it symbolizes wisdom or truth or knowledge, but it also symbolizes righteousness in the Bible. And Jesus came into this world of sin, dark because of sin and evil. And yet Jesus lived a life of perfect righteousness. He lived the life that none of us has lived. And then He died the death that all of us should die because of our sin. But He did that for us. He never disobeyed God's commands. He always did what was right. And now, through faith in Him, He offers that gift of His righteousness to us, so that we can stand before God and be justified, be declared innocent because of Jesus' righteousness. The Bible says that Jesus became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He took our sin. We receive His righteousness through faith. And then our lives begin to change. We begin to be transformed by the Spirit of God within us because we have believed in what Jesus has done and what God has done because of love for sinners. We begin to change. That's why Jesus said to His disciples, "You are the light of the world." You see, we're to reflect the light of Jesus so that others can see it. And Jesus says, as He continues, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That's why we exist, to glorify God. And one of the ways we do that is to reflect the light of Jesus, to reflect the righteousness of Jesus more and more as we do what is right. Paul said to the Christians in Ephesus, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, meaning sinful works. As I think about unfruitful works, I also think about the fruit of the Spirit, which is to characterize believers more and more, and is a definition really of righteousness in the Bible: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As Christians, we desire those things because we want to glorify God, who has loved us and given himself up for us. A light has dawned. Light symbolizes life, wisdom, righteousness, and finally, joy. Light symbolizes joy. Jesus came into a world of sorrow to bring true joy. Our family, before moving to Rapid City, lived in the Seattle area. And during those years that we lived in Seattle, we became acquainted with a disorder that we had never heard of before because it was somewhat prominent in that area. The disorder is called seasonal affective disorder, the acrostic SAD, which is a good acrostic for what this is. It's the tendency during a certain time of year, especially usually in the winter, because the days are shorter and the nights are longer and there's less light. But you add to that living in the Northwest, the Great Northwest, where it's very green, but the reason it's very green is because it rains a lot. And there are clouds that block the sun often throughout the year, but especially in the winter. And so quite often in Seattle, people experience depression during the winter. Lots of men that we knew would pull out of their garage in the morning to go to work and it was dark, and then they would pull into the garage at night when they got home from their commute and it was still dark. And so it's easy to see, if you just think about that, the connection between light and joy. We need light to have joy, even on a human level. But ultimately, Jesus is the source as the light of true joy. True joy. At the end of Isaiah chapter 8, right before chapter 9, of course, the text that we're looking at this morning that says that a light has dawned, Isaiah talks about people who don't trust God. Literally, at the end of chapter 8, he says those who look to the earth. In other words, they trust in what they can do, individually or together. But here's the bad news. We can't produce these things that light represents in our own hearts and in our own lives. And so if we look to ourselves, we'll have this kind of experience, Isaiah says. Distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish. And then he says about these people, they will be thrust into thick darkness. The light has dawned. We have a tendency in our culture to think of ourselves as enlightened, but the light doesn't come from us. The true light doesn't come from within us, it comes from above us. The sun is above us. The light has dawned on us. As we finish tonight, I want you to think with me about three things that just sort of came together this week. I've heard these things before, but I had never put them together. Think about this: the birth of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus all took place in the darkness. The birth of Jesus took place in the darkness. Earlier you heard Luke chapter 2 read, where we were told in the reading that shepherds were watching over their flock by night. And that's when the angel appeared to them, and that's when they went and found this newborn baby. The birth of Jesus took place in the dark. The death of Jesus took place in the dark, and I've already mentioned that, right? While Jesus was hanging on the cross at midday, it became dark like midnight, and was that for several hours. Jesus' death took place in the dark. And then his resurrection took place in the dark. Because we're told that on Easter Sunday morning, that the ladies went to the tomb, and when they got there, it was just at sunrise. And already the stone had been removed, and Jesus had been raised. What does this mean? This is not a coincidence. This is not without significance that Jesus' birth, Jesus' death, and Jesus' resurrection all took place in the dark. And I think what we could say about that is this. At his birth, Jesus entered the darkness. In his death, Jesus endured the darkness. And through his resurrection, Jesus eradicated the darkness. And I think that's a great word to describe what Jesus did through his resurrection and really through everything leading up to his resurrection. He eradicated the darkness. The word eradicate means to remove by the roots. To remove by the roots. And the image you can have for that word is to think of a tree that's not just cut down at the ground level or right above the ground, but a tree that is actually pulled up and all of the roots are brought up and the tree is removed from the ground completely. Eradicated in that sense. Now, when you pull a tree from the ground by its roots, it doesn't immediately disappear. But it is inevitable that the tree that has been pulled up by its roots is going to die and disintegrate and in that sense eventually disappear. But not immediately. And that's exactly what happened when Jesus was raised from the dead. He uprooted darkness. It's just a matter of time. Darkness is going to disappear because of what Jesus, the light, has done. Because of his victory. And that's why the last chapter in the Bible says this, and night will be no more. No more darkness. No more night. It will end. And this world will be made new. It will be a new creation for those people who have been made new creations through their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And night will be no more. They, meaning God's servants, will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord will be their light. And they will reign with him. That is, those who have trusted in Jesus as their Savior. Those who've turned from their sins and trusted in him will experience no more night, no more darkness, and any of the things that that represents. What an incredible message Christmas is when we understand it. A light has dawned in the darkness on those who are in darkness. And we come to him through faith and trust him to forgive us and to change us. And because he loved us first, we love him and want to glorify him. Let's bow and let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for what you have done for us in Christ, that you have come in the person of Jesus Christ. The very first words that the Bible tells us, God, that you spoke were, "Let there be light." In the darkness, and there was light. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us tonight to realize what you have done for us in Jesus Christ, and help us to worship you, maybe in a way that we never have before, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.